My name is Chris, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, who's in recovery for drug addiction, pride, idolatry, and I could add in a number of other things, but control for sure. Hey. I was born in Whittier, California. My parents both graduated from Long Beach State University, which is where they met. They moved our family to Salem, Oregon from Los Angeles when I was one, but I still always identified myself as being from California because it sounded much cooler than Salem, Oregon. I grew up attending Episcopal Church in Salem most of my early years. This is where I was first baptized and publicly declared my faith in Christ at the ripe age of one. Oh, I forgot to mention I struggle with sarcasm too. Based on my experiences in the Episcopal Church in Salem and what I witnessed and didn't witness for many years, I did not understand what a personal 7-day-a-week relationship with Jesus looked like. I struggled with many things when I was younger and had quite a few experiences which I did not realize affected me until just recently. I struggled with anger growing up, always getting in fights, punching or kicking walls, and total disrespect of any type of authority placed over me. I struggled with lust, which later manifested itself in pornography, acting out with girls, and lack of any self-control. When I was about 5, an abusive and confusing situation happened with another boy who used to come play at our house. I buried the experience for many years, but through God's help and the step study, I was able to forgive him and quit blaming myself. My uncontrolled anger and lust continued into middle school, where I had issues with getting kicked out of classes and messing around with girls, taking things way too fast. It was in 8th grade where I met my future wife and had a pretty intense crush on her at the time, but still had no idea how to treat women in a respectful way. I actually thought mooning her in the hall after school was going to get her to like me. Freshman year in high school, the chaos continued, and this is when I tried marijuana for the first time and also began to drink alcohol. These new habits would turn into major addictions and controlling behaviors that I would not begin to have freedom from until many years later. At this time, I was still having many issues with anger and authority. I was kicked out of class many times because I would talk disrespectfully to the teacher or cause distractions to draw attention to myself. I was a good athlete, which added to my pride and identity issues because I thought I was super cool. I felt that as long as my grades and sports performance were satisfactory, I could continue to smoke and drink as much as I wanted. Eventually, the marijuana led me to other substance abuse issues with hallucinogenic mushrooms, and also my first arrest at the age of 15. During my freshman year in high school, I began taking my parents' car for joyrides in the middle of the night, even though I only had my permit. I would sneak inside their room after they fell asleep, take their keys, and jump off the roof out of our second-story window of my room to steal their car and go cruising. This eventually led me to a car chase with the police at over 115 miles an hour, and my friend and I going to the juvenile detention center. At one point during the chase, I remember taking a corner at about 70 miles an hour and almost losing control. I know that God saved me from harm that night, but I was not at a place to acknowledge His grace. It was a mild wake-up call for me, but was not enough to take me off of my destructive path. We were not only caught driving without a license and eluding the police, but also caught with stuff we had stole from a local store. Stealing was also an issue for me that came to light during that time of my life. I did chill out for a while, but in reality, this event just helped me to latch on to the bad boy image. I didn't know many kids at my age that had been in the car chase with the police. I thought it was cool and that lots of other people did too. The drugs, drinking, and stealing, unfortunately, didn't stop there. I did finally begin to understand a little about what a personal relationship with Christ looked like while attending Young Life at South Salem High School. At age 16, I attended the Woodleaf Young Life Camp in California and made the decision to invite Christ into my life. I don't remember exactly who I was with, but I feel it was one of the major steps in the process of getting out of my boat to begin the process of trying to walk with Jesus. I confirmed to God that I believed Jesus died for my sins and that I accepted His gift. I don't remember exactly what was going through my head at the time, as it was a long time ago, and as I say sometimes, I have slept since then, and the smoke in my brain is still dissipating. I do know that it was important, but it did not really affect the decisions I made after that point, as I wish I could say it did. I know at the time I truly believed in Christ, but I was not fully ready to commit to the change which I knew He wanted of me. I think at this point the decision was more like putting my toe in the water and then realizing that maybe it was a bit too cold to get completely in the water and let Jesus help me walk. Even at Woodleaf, I was in the midst of my addiction, which I would not fully surrender for Christ to take until many years later. After that moment at camp, I continued to turn my back on God, and I refused to make the types of decisions and changes He wanted me to make. At that point, I was already smoking pot consistently, and it just got worse through the rest of high school. I abused drugs on a regular basis and drank alcohol regularly, including in class at school. I got my first car at 16, which happened to be a 1973 International Scout. Note to self, do not get my son a capable four-wheel drive that has a hardtop convertible and a loud V8 engine, as it has a very high probability to lead to trouble. I began to hang out with people who partied harder than I did, which frankly was hard to imagine, and I was smoking pot regularly, drinking often, stealing, and experimenting with other drugs. I did attend a Nazarene church for a short time and actually went on a multi-state choir tour, which was undertaken primarily because I liked a few of the girls in the youth group. Despite my selfish motives, God was continuing to plant seeds in my heart that would eventually grow. My goals for my life before Christ consisted of a few things which did not change much until later in my journey: getting high, getting the girls, and getting through college. On to college I went, smoking and now selling pot. I ended up progressing to at least a six-pack a day and smoking pot most of the day. I dropped out of Portland State University for a few semesters and realized I needed to be somewhere away from home where there was really strong weed. Southern Oregon University was recommended by a friend of mine, so I applied and got accepted. I moved to Ashland, Oregon, where a conversation about God was few and far between, pot was easily available, and pretty much anything went. During my time at SOU, I became one of the larger pot dealers on campus and eventually was granted a medical marijuana card by falsifying medical records, which was really for my legal protection and further justification of my use. I continued to use pot and alcohol in large quantities daily. If marijuana was Batman, then alcohol was Batman's sidekick, Robin, as they were always together, and when not together, they were not far apart. My junior year in college, I almost ended up doing 5 years in prison for assault with a weapon, for catching a friend in the mouth with a beer glass during a bar fight. Eventually, my friend forgave me and the charges were dropped. God again was watching over me and protecting me, patiently waiting for me to give my life to Him instead of trying to live life the way I thought was best, which just got me into trouble. I began praying again my last year in college, feeling like I was headed for disaster. I needed God's help and guidance, and I knew it. Of course, my prayers were still fairly selfish as I asked God to bring a super hot, easygoing, and wholesome woman into my life. Despite my lack of obedience, God continued to bless me and hear my prayers as 2 weeks later, I fell madly in love with the amazing woman who would eventually be my wife. It was love at first sight, which wasn't really first sight, but it sure as heck felt like it. We met downtown for old times over Christmas break, and I will never forget when I saw her walk past the window to the place where I was sitting and walk in. God must have sent some angels to knock me over the head with some love bricks, as I could not believe my eyes. I loved her so much from the moment our eyes met again. She moved to Ashland soon after, and then she realized she had walked into a mess I had spent many years creating. Thankfully, she had grace and forgiveness and loved me like Jesus. She was willing to look past my addictions and shortcomings to see some glimmer of hope and a man who she felt she might be able to be with for the rest of her life. I tried to get my act together, and by the end of college, I made the decision with the pure focus on my own willpower to quit smoking. But it was with my own willpower, not God's power, and so it didn't last very long. We got married in 2004 and started going to a church in Wilsonville. I started trying to make God a priority and a regular part of my life, an improvement, but not quite where He wanted me to be. Another big step for me in my walk with Christ was stepping outside of my addiction and life priorities for my wife and I to participate in our first mission trip together to Nicaragua together. This was an impactful experience, and God used this to show me just how ludicrous my addiction really was. Here I was, smoking up $50 worth of pot in a few days back home, and I go to Nicaragua and meet people who are living on $50 per month to feed themselves, their family, and provide shelter. They still had a smile on their faces despite their circumstances, and I wasn't happy unless I had some pot in a jar or knew I was able to get some when it ran out. The mission trip really put things in perspective for me for about 1 month. until my selfish desires kicked back in and I was right back where I had started. I came home and I knew that my addiction was ridiculous, but it didn't matter. I was still a slave to it and had too much pride to ask for help. Not even my Christian brothers who I went on the trip with knew I had a drug addiction. I continued in my slavery and justified my behavior because I still had a good job, I graduated college, and I was not a failure according to the world's definition. I continued to pick jobs where I had the flexibility in my schedule to smoke when I felt like it and had very limited accountability regarding my time. I would never pick a job that required a drug test. That would just be absurd. 3 more years went by and my addiction continued. During that time, God continued to pour out blessings despite my sinful lifestyle as He gave me 2 precious kids to raise, good employment, and a faithful wife. I took for granted the faithfulness of my wife as she was being torn to pieces by my choices, my dishonesty, and my lack of presence as a father, husband, and a friend. The process of recovery really began about 4 years ago when I was able to bring my drug addiction into the light, as it had been a huge secret for over half my life. I was only able to tell people who I felt would accept it and not give me a hard time. The process really started for me on my 2nd mission trip to Nicaragua. One of the guys on the trip had struggled with similar drug addiction issues, and we really connected. We liked similar music, and I felt like he understood. We talked about my marijuana addiction, and I was able to confess to him that it was a major area of struggle for me. This was a turning point because I was able to talk to a fellow Christian who had struggled with a similar issue and not feel like I was being rejected or looked down upon. This was my first glimpse of what Celebrate Recovery is. I began to understand what the love and acceptance of Jesus looked like lived out in authentic, transparent relationships. When I returned home from the trip, I felt I needed to take some additional steps in bringing my drug addiction into the light. Next, I wrote my life group at our former church a long email expressing the need for help and that my addiction was out of control. This was a second huge progression in my recovery, as we had been meeting with this group for over a year and I had never said a word. 2 of the leaders ended up coming over to our house and discussed it with me further. This again served the purpose of me bringing into light my addiction to people who I viewed as the stereotypical normal Christians. I feel like God used this situation as the next building block in my recovery to show me that not only did He love me and accept me as I was, but that He had given me other people who loved me. He had put people in my life that could support me in becoming the person He created me to be. The next progression of my recovery was telling my men's group, who I had been meeting with for over 4 years. I was able to tell them the magnitude of my drug addiction and ask for prayer and support. They showed me nothing but love and acceptance and were truly Jesus to me. For a long time, I had believed one of the greatest lies that Satan whispers in the ears of believers. The other Christians you know won't accept you if they know you have an addiction to drugs, alcohol, or you struggle with other sin. When I stopped listening to this lie and acted on the transparency God was asking of me, Satan began losing the battle for my life and the fight to diminish the glory that God wanted to receive through my testimony. I started coming to Celebrate Recovery after my wife and I began coming to Rolling Hills. A friend who was in our community group at our last church recommended I try it. I was skeptical at first as I had never been to any recovery program and always found a way to justify why I didn't need it. The friend who invited me came once, allowing me to get my feet wet and not feel alone. I know God used him just to get me here, and I am thankful that he was willing to be used by God to impact my life. My relationship with Jesus was slowly changing, and I began to realize my addiction was a sinful desire which was not in alignment with what Christ desired of me. It was a crutch I had used to keep from leaning on God during stressful times and life's hardships. It was a fake replacement for God, and I began to realize that I didn't want it anymore. I wanted the real thing. I was at a breaking point in my life where I became willing to ask for His help, bring my issues into the light with people around me, and seek out the help and support I needed. I wanted to actually follow Jesus, not just believe in Him. Paul says in Philippians 2:12-13, "Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." For the first time in my life, I actually began to care what God thought of my actions, thoughts, and decisions. I wanted to be obedient in my life to His will, not mine. Not because I was seeking salvation through my good behavior and works, but because I was so grateful for what Christ did for me on the cross, and I wanted to show my love for him by the way I lived and the choices I made. For most of my life, I abused and took for granted what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I would always say to myself, if he forgives me of my sins in the past, present, and future, then I am free to do what I want. He will always forgive me. But I couldn't ignore what God spoke through Paul in Galatians 5:13, which says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Freedom and addiction have nothing in common. And the love I was supposed to have for others was being misdirected into my love for a substance. So I began working the program by showing up. In the beginning, I would just come for the worship lesson and lesson time and would leave as soon as it was over. I felt like sitting in a group was too much effort and way too vulnerable. At first, I ended up going to the general issues group, which I felt would give me a chance to check it out without being identified as an addict. I was still fighting my desire to keep things undercover. Eventually, I did begin talking about my addiction in group and really felt like the people in the group cared by the way they listened. It didn't take long for me to begin attending the addiction and chemical dependency group, where I was able to share my struggles and messed up thinking with other men who were struggling with similar thinking. I began to understand that I was not alone in my warped thinking and was able to be transparent about what I was struggling with on a week-by-week basis. I joined a step study and began to work through the 12 steps that Christ has used in CR to free so many others. The first day of the rest of my life began on June 20th, 2010. I was at church, and God began to really convince me of the fact that I needed his help if I was going to overcome my addiction. The pastor speaking invited anyone who wanted to come up and kneel at the wooden cross they had up front. I went up front and knelt down and asked Jesus with all my heart to help me. I knew I could never overcome my addiction on my own, but with his help, it could be done. This was the first time I'd asked for his help and really meant it. Not only did I seek his help, but I was finally willing to be obedient to what he had been asking me to do for many years, give up my drugs and follow him wholeheartedly. 2 days later, I quit, and I have been free from those chains since. Before that day, I was never able to quit more than 30 days on my own willpower since I was 15 years old. After that day, things were different, as I felt an obsession and addiction I had for many years was lifted from my shoulders and placed on the shoulders of Christ. I began reading the Bible daily and had a thirst for his word I had never experienced in my life. I had the support I needed from Jesus and the accountability I needed through my step study group and the brothers who had been so encouraging and accepting. I found an awesome sponsor who understood my issues, and I reached out to him and my accountability partners daily. We were able to talk about the joy I was having and also the struggle and the mixed emotions, which also came up. Through the step study and eventually getting to step 4 and 5, I realized the damage I had caused to my family, myself, and all of those I interacted with. Step 4 is we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Lamentations 3:40 says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." And then step 5 is we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." The step which touched my heart in a special way was step 5, as I had never admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. I didn't like to get into specifics as it was too messy. It was much easier to pray for peace, love, and happiness and leave the details out, but it is in the details where God was healing me and is still healing me today. God has changed my relationships in many ways since my freedom from the chains of addiction. My relationships are love-driven, not addiction-driven. When I was in the middle of my addiction, most of my relationships were kept to meet the needs of the addiction. If I hung out with someone for any decent length of time, it was probably to meet the need of my addiction, either in acquiring, using, or distributing. If a person did not approve of it or partake in it, chances are they didn't get much time from me. Now, I really enjoy being around people, at least most people. I just enjoy them for them. I don't have any ulterior motives, or my addictions getting in the way. I enjoy coming to CR because I love the people here and I love helping others. My relationship with my wife has improved. We really struggled in our relationship before because I had broken down our trust level so much due to the lying and the abuse of our money. In the past 3 years, we have really begun to heal in some areas which were critical in the success of our marriage, such as trust, spending time together, enjoying activities together, and praying together, and doing life together. I enjoy reading God's Word now as I understand the power it has and how God uses it to speak into my life on a daily basis. My relationship with my kids is much better as I'm actually available to them to be the dad they deserve. God is now using me to be a role model for them and to raise them up in His ways, not mine. My relationship with my friends has been restored as the people who were always truly my friends are still around and have really supported me in becoming the man God has called me to be. I now also have a new group of friends who love Jesus and who support me in being the man God designed me to be. I recently went on an adventure weekend with some of these friends, and in the past, I never imagined going on a trip with my friends that didn't involve drugs or alcohol. It was one of the best trips of my life. I feel very blessed to have a group of friends who can support me and allow me to support them. We had an amazing time laughing, joking, praying, jumping in lakes, and talking about some very difficult subjects of theology, being dads, and what it means to live out a life following Jesus every day. God is continuing to show me areas of weakness and areas where I can lean on Him to find success and strength. He has brought me to a place where I can admit that I need Him, I need Jesus, and without His Spirit guiding me, I am truly lost. The areas of my old life which no longer exist are long drives to get my head clear and smoke away my stress, misuse of money and the lies associated with it, long stressful adventures to find my drug of choice, coming to church on Sundays and then leading a completely different life and having a completely different set of values Monday through Saturday, lying about or withholding my hurts, habits, and hang-ups, smelling like cigar or pot, my car smelling like cigar or pot, worrying about the police pulling me over for drug tests, or drug tests. The benefits I have received from working the 12 steps is that I am much more aware and willing to acknowledge my areas of weakness. I am willing to be transparent about those with others, ask for prayer, and work on them as they rear their ugly heads. I enjoy the people and relationships in my life so much more as I am able to live in the moment instead of worrying about the next time I will be getting high or having a drink. I have my family back, and they have me back. I have the privilege to be a part of CR and help others. I get to keep peeling back the layers of my onion to discover the areas that are still stinky and need to be removed, which is a lot. The process of recovery is just that. It's a process. Just recently, God was really tugging at my heart in regards to another issue I had struggled with in the past and I had been in denial about. The issue was drinking alcohol. I knew very plainly that my use of marijuana was a major addiction. It was illegal. It was obviously a problem for me and a daily addiction that when using, I could not go without. I have been free from that for over three years now, and thank God for that freedom. I realized recently that I had been so overjoyed about the freedom He had given me from marijuana that I had been blinded by pride to other areas in my life that had been problems in the past and were beginning to rear their ugly heads again. Now that I had been set free from pot, my major issue, I wanted so badly to be a regular adult in society and a normal drinker. I didn't keep alcohol around the house as we have alcoholics in the family, and I was sensitive to how it affected our family. But I began to travel more for work, and as I realized, Chris alone in the world without accountability in a new place and some alcohol is not a good scenario. It started out innocent with a glass of wine at dinner, drank with a client, etc. Then I began to get a bottle of wine to have in my hotel room. It started to become a regular habit when I traveled. I had forgotten that by nature, I am an addict. On a recent trip to New Orleans, I was out walking in the French Quarter near Bourbon Street, bad idea by the way, and a homeless guy approached me and asked if I would buy him some food or a sandwich as he had not eaten in a while. Of course I would buy him a sandwich. What would Jesus do, right? We walked for a while, and he told me a story. He was homeless, HIV positive, and didn't know where he was going to stay that night. I got him some food, and we walked a while longer and decided to part ways. I asked him where a particular store was, and he offered to walk with me and get me going in the right direction. We got to the street where I needed to turn, and I said thanks. I looked him in the eye and felt like I needed to pray with him. I put my arms around him and started to pray, and then realized I have a rum and coke in my hand. In that moment, I felt like God gave me a kind, loving, graceful knock to the head and said, "Really? You're going to pray for this guy with a rum and coke in your hand? Come on, buddy." And I finished praying for him, but I felt a sense that while the experience was good, it was only half of what it could have been. On a recent trip to Florida, I kept getting flashbacks of that walk in New Orleans. And I felt like God said to me, I can only use you so much if you continue to drink. I realized that while I wasn't drinking daily and downing a fifth or more, drinking was just another habit that was keeping me from fully experiencing what God wanted me to experience in my life. It was another crutch to relieve stress when God had already given me the most powerful stress reliever in the universe, Himself, His Word, and the peace that He promises. John 14:26-27 says, Jesus said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. But do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The world says that alcohol and drugs The world says that alcohol and drugs, among many other things, will give me peace and relief of stress, and I would still believe in that lie. The cool thing about being in CR and embracing the ongoing process is that as soon as God reveals new areas He would like to peel away as part of molding us into His image, He has given us the tools in the accountability and process of celebrated recovery. That Friday, on my way back from Florida, didn't think it would be this hard. I called my sponsor and some of my other accountability partners, and I let them know what I felt God was saying to me and what I needed to do. I asked for support, and I let them know I would be taking a new coin that next Wednesday. As I expected, I received nothing but love, acceptance, and encouragement as I began to tackle the next stage of my recovery. I received my 3-year coin for smoking and my 30-day coin for drinking on the same Wednesday. And I get my 90-day coin today. As you will hear often in CR, and as we hear often in our addiction group from a well-known recovery veteran, it works if you work it, so keep coming back. And the encouragement I can give to a newcomer is the following. Don't be afraid to keep coming back to make this a regular part of your week and your life. It does get easier, and the people in CR are really not that weird. They're actually more normal than most people you will meet because they are open about the areas of weakness and are truly trying to seek help. If you know what your issue or issues are, then get into a group where you can talk about them with others who can relate. I went to the general issues group at first because I did not want to be identified as an addict, but I soon realized that I needed to be around others who really got me and struggled with similar things. Get enrolled in a step study as soon as possible. The open share groups are great and have been a very important part of my recovery, but I really started to see major progress in my understanding of why I was doing what I was doing when I got into a step study and dug into the details and the dirty stuff of the past and the present. Get involved in serving as soon as possible. It's amazing how quickly I got to know everyone here and how much more willing I was to share what I felt like when I felt like I was part of CR, not just an attendee. If you have had victory over a particular issue, don't rest on that victory and get complacent in your recovery and your walk with Christ. Even if you are a leader, don't let pride keep you from working on the next hurt, habit, or hang-up God is showing you and wants to give you healing with. I love coming to CR every week and really enjoy it, and I am able to help in areas where I would not have before, as it would have interfered with my personal time. I have had the privilege of being able to volunteer at the cold weather shelter during the wintertime in the basement of Rolling Hills, and will need volunteers again. God has also given me the opportunity to lead a step study inside the Columbia River Correctional Facility, which we just finished. CR is not just a ministry to me anymore. It is my ministry, it is our ministry, and it is God's ministry. I've been able to share with others how Jesus saved me from myself, how he saved me from an addiction I thought I would never be free from, and he forgave me of my sins, past, present, and future. He has given me a new life that I don't deserve, but I will gladly accept it. My hope is no longer in any substance that I let control me. It is in my God and my Savior Jesus, to whom I willingly give control. Philippians 3:12-14 says, "No, dear brothers, I am not all as I should be, but I am bringing all my energy to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us." In 1 Timothy 1:15-16 says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." Thanks.